Fearless.
Chase.
Bold.
Following.
Courageous.
Search. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Marshall.
And this is
Undaunted
Pursuit.
All right. Yes, sir. Car studio tonight, buddy. That's what happens when you have extremely poor internet at the house.
Are you up at the church?
I am.
Gotta love it. Got to love it, man.
I know it. Well, and, you know, so today was a little bit delayed. I wanted to do this a little bit sooner, but it was, we were driving around, so we had to go out and find, we're still trying to get things going with the house and, you know, organizational stuff. And so we went out and we got some, Ashley needed some more laundry detergent, and we've been needing a couple of brackets to hang up for Savannah's, I don't know, we're going to make her like a little shelf thing that with a dowel rod and, you know, like a curtain rod, something that she can hang her clothes on. So anyway, so we went out and looked for that. And then while we were out, Ashley said that she was, she thought that Chinese sounded kind of good. And you know, when, when she says that Chinese sounds good, you got to take her up on it right away. I can't wait to be like, you know, we were planning something else out for dinner, but, tomorrow ain't going to work. Because tomorrow it's not going to sound good. Heck, if I didn't take her up on it while we were currently out, it wouldn't sound good after the podcast. So we went and had an early dinner. So
that's awesome.
We are good.
Yeah, I made, I cooked hamburgers yesterday. So before Kelsey left to go out to her parents' house to house some pets, she made up several meals for the 2 weeks that she'll be gone. And gave me some recipes. So one of them was hamburgers. Well, I've had so many hamburgers the past 2 or 3 days. I'm about sick and tired of hamburgers. However, these hamburgers are really good. But I had them for lunch one day, and then I had them the next day for lunch, and the next day for lunch. And then I have three more to eat. I've got three more burgers to eat for the next 3 days for dinners. And I got to make asparagus and blah, blah, blah. So I had a burger earlier for dinner. Didn't make the asparagus because I don't think I'd have the time to do it. But yeah, I'm just like, I'm burgered out.
I bet you are. Shoot, man. I'm about to send you some. And then I'm.
Have I shown you the old Black Raffle coffee mug?
Oh, shoot. Dang, that's pretty nice. Looks like a little hand grenade for those of you listening.
Yeah, it's a hand grenade.
Heck yeah. We just kind of kicked this thing off. Guys, hey, welcome back to Undaunted Pursuit Podcast. Sorry about last week. We just ran into so many dang technical difficulties that we just couldn't seal the deal on an episode. We just couldn't get together on time. So we're glad you joined us this week because I'm excited. I know I'm excited for the topic of this week, and it's going to, We'll get into that anyway. Back to it. Marshall was just checking his phone, and while we were on the topic of food, I sent him a picture of what we ate last night for dinner, which is pretty. Marshall, that was pretty labor intensive.
It looks pretty labor intensive. It looks like some sort of a churro. That's kind of what it looks like. It looks a little bit like a churro. Yeah.
Well, and so that was us kicking off into, okay. All right. So man, where do we start? Do I start off with the churro burrito that I just sent you? Or do we start off with the, so here we are this week, you know, this week we're trying to nail down a time for, getting on and doing this podcast. And Marshall replies back to me. He says, well, let's do it at such and such time. I've got a churro appointment at 3:45. And I respond as I didn't realize you could make appointments for churros. And so I sent him a little cross-eyed girl eating a churro And it wasn't, it was a misspelled.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I had a churro.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a churro appointment. You can make churro appointments. They are one in a million, but man, are they wonderful. No, I had a chiropractic appointment, and I abbreviated chiropractic with Cairo, Chiro, and it came up as churro. So gotta love predictive texting, but yeah.
No,
so,
heck, so no, it didn't. It just looked like churro.
Yeah, it just looked like churro. So what brought about the churro burrito, the churrito? What's
that? The churrito. It was thanks to Facebook and Reels. Facebook and their Reels. Ashley had sent me a video the other day. It's like, man, that looks pretty stinking good. So what it is, and if any of you guys have found this on there, I think it's called a churro burrito or a churrito, or I don't know how the heck it is, but if you guys have probably seen this video, it's legit. Let me tell you, it is stinking legit. We made a couple of changes. We made them smaller. So what this guy does in the video, he takes two tortillas and he makes one like really big burrito out of it. So we only did it with like one tortilla, one pancake. Yeah. So what you do, we went and got some buttermilk pancake mix at Walmart, and you mix it up. You mix it up just the way it's supposed to be, and you put it on a hot griddle. And well, as soon as you put that on there, you put your egg, which is you just in a bowl, crack that egg, whip it up with a fork, and then as small as we made it, maybe took half an egg up a pancake. So, but as you're whipping that up, throw some sausage, some bacon in there, and whip it up a little bit more, and then pour a little bit of that in the middle of your pancake. Then sprinkle some cheese, of whatever shredded cheese you like, on top of that pancake. Give it a good, by that time, it's cooked enough on the bottom. Give it a flip. And then let it cook the other side, let it melt that cheese, cook that egg and all that. So after that's all done, now you got your pancake with all your goodies in it. Then you butter one side of a tortilla. You put that on the hot griddle, get it softened up, soften up that tortilla, put it back out on the table, butter side up, put your, a layer of cheese down, just a small layer of shredded cheese down, put your, pancake on top of it, and then, hot honey. If you can find hot honey, we couldn't, we found a sriracha honey, which was too sriracha-y, not honey enough. So I put like a little, gas streak, I guess, for those chefs out there listening, or a little squirt of sriracha honey on there. And then we topped it with a little bit more honey, regular honey. And then you roll it up real tight and you stitch that together with some, toothpicks, and then throw that. Now it gets better here. You throw that stitched together into a deep fryer, or in my case, it was an electric skillet filled with oil. And then you drop that sucker in the oil, let it cook up till it's golden. As soon as you pull it out of the oil, throw it into a bowl of cinnamon sugar. Roll that bad boy up in cinnamon sugar, pull them toothpicks out, cut it in half. And last night, the video that we saw on Facebook used like a chipotle sauce, which you can get a chipotle sauce at Walmart that Taco Bell makes, but we used the spicy ranchero sauce, which was phenomenal. It was good. Not the most healthy of a dinner, but the kids loved it. I loved it. It was delicious. And you saw them pictures, Marshall.
Yeah. So sorry guys, I'm over here salivating over what he just explained. That sounds delicious. I'm drooling here. It looked like there was some meat in there. Did you mention that, like some sausage or something mixed in with that as well? It looked like there was some meat mixed in there.
Yeah. It's in the pancake. It's sausage and bacon in the pancake. Yeah.
Ooh. So this is like, this could be breakfast, dessert, and dinner, and whatever you want. Really?
Yeah. Ooh. It is, like I said, it is legit, man.
Yeah, it looks, guys, I know y'all can't see pictures, you're just hearing us explain this, but, and he did a really good job of describing it, but it looks amazing. It looks delicious. And it looks very professionally made too. Like I thought he was at a restaurant when I saw the picture initially. I didn't realize he was going to say that he made it. It looks really good. I, on the other hand, have not had anything like that in quite some time. everything in my house has been organic and grass fed and more organic. So I'm dying over here, you know.
That's why you're skinny and I'm fat and I probably
Hey, no,
I'm married to a chef pretty much. I mean, she went to chef school, so I've got a pretty good cook for a wife. So, yeah, you know what? There's some marriage advice for you. If you want to eat good, marry a gal that can cook for those guys, you know, or ladies. Learn how to cook if you're single, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's so true. My wife is the same way. She definitely didn't go to any schooling, but she's self-taught and she's extremely good at what she does. Baking, cooking, all that kind of stuff. A lot like Ashley is. I know Ashley can cook really well. I've had her food. I've had some of her baked goods before. It's always been delicious. My wife's food is amazing. Hence, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, my wife made all these meals and created all these meals for me that I didn't starve to death while she was gone. yes, Aaron is correct. Men, find you a lady who can cook. If she can't cook, kick her to the gutter and go find another man because you're going to starve to death.
You're going to starve. Man, there ain't no starving for this guy right here, you know. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I actually need to cut back. I really do. Oh, I got something for you, Marshall. And I think I already told you this, but I'm going to say it on the air. So my that stinking Ford Ranger of mine, it's blowing on one cylinder. You know, just I couldn't make it down the road the other day without it spitting and sputtering and whatever. So anyway, so I set that off to the side and I walked the first day to work, which was good. You know, I need to walk. If you guys see me, I need to walk. But, so I walked to work. That was great. Got the blood pumping and I was feeling good by the time I got to work. Well, the next day I'm like, oh, you know what? Riding a bike might be just a little quicker. I can still get a good workout on a bike. I got a good workout. Let me tell you, I got about, maybe about a quarter of a mile down the road from the house and my legs were screaming. I got to the point where I almost thought that I would have to just start walking the bike to work. Actually, I was probably close enough to the house that I should have just taken the bike back and walked to work that day. But man, dude, I was huffing it and puffing. I was thinking the whole way to work. I was like, man, I'm too out of shape for this junk. And needless to say, the end of the day, my coworker, he's like, you want to ride home? I was like, yeah, let me throw this bike up in the back of your truck and why don't you just take me home? So laziness set in there. I said, nah, I ain't riding that bike home. If he couldn't take me home, yeah. I was going to walk that bike home.
Yeah, it is. If you haven't worked out in a while, it'll kick you in the rear. And, you know, I don't work out like I used to at all. And I really have got to get back in the gym because what happens to me is I make every excuse in the world not to go to the gym. Like, oh, I'm going to go home. I'm going to clean. I'm going to get this done, get that. Especially like my wife's gone. My wife's gone, it's even a better opportunity for me to go to the gym. But I still come home and I'm like, oh, I need to mow. I need to weed eat. I need to go sweep the floors. I need to clean the bathrooms. I need to do all this stuff because she's not here because she generally does a lot of the house cleaning, all the cooking and all that kind of stuff. And I clean too, obviously, but I do the yard. So I always fill in my time with other things when I could be. One, in my garage, lifting the few weights that I have and riding the bike that I have, or my butt could be at the gym working out using that membership that I pay for every month. I've got to lose some weight. I've got to lose like 15 to 20 pounds because my gut's getting a little bit bigger than it ever has been, and it's not a good thing.
Well, like I said, you could stand to gain a little bit of weight, but and that's another thing here lately. I've been watching, I see a couple videos every now and then of this, Mr. Beast guy on, not Mr. Beast. It's not like that that popular YouTuber, whatever.
Oh yeah.
It's what is he? Is he called Mr. Beast? Man, this dude is just. He is a mon. He is a beast.
Real skinny guy.
Man, this dude, it's ripped. Like the strongest man in the world.
Does he have like all these?
No. This is.
Does he like? Is he? He's a bodybuilder.
He might be.
Is he white?
He's a big dude. Yeah, he's a white guy. He got a mohawk and he's. I think he's right now currently the strongest man in the world.
Because I follow a couple guys on Facebook who are strong men. And they've both reached that strongest man in the world. One's from like Britain or something like that. And the other one's American, but they're buddies and they always are hanging out with each other. But I don't know if it's one of those guys or not.
Yeah. No, I mean, it may be, but either way, got me wanting to get into the gym and lift some weights. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's encouraging to watch those guys. I watched a lot of old Ronnie Coleman videos, and Ronnie Coleman's like one of the, all sorts of bodybuilding competition. He's a world champion numerous years in a row. I think he still holds the record. And back in his heyday, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, well, mid 90s to early 2000s, this guy was huge. I mean, huge. He was squatting like 800 plus pounds. I mean, this guy is ridiculous. But now, because of all that heavy weightlifting that he did all those years, his spine is pretty much completely fused together, and he walks around with like crutches, and he's in a wheelchair a lot. And, like, he's got a lot of, cause it all that weight over all those years, it compressed his spine and his knees, and it just really played a big toll on his body. He said he wouldn't change.
You know,
it for the
I don't want to get that far into it. Yeah. You know, I was always big on lifting weights, and of course, you know, life and kids and moving and all that gets in, you know, just kind of took over. But man, I've just been thinking about it lately. It's like, I always loved lifting weights. And so I'd like to get back into it. I just like to be kind of stacked, not necessarily at world champion level, but. And definitely not enough to where I get hurt, you know, hurt myself. But
yeah, I don't want to be like huge by any means. I just want to lose a little bit of weight, get quote unquote ripped a little bit, and just maintain. I'm not trying to become a big muscly guy, because here's the deal. Once you gain all that muscle, if you don't maintain that muscle,
you gotta keep it
up.
You
lose that muscle pretty quick. And everything starts to sag. And so I'd rather just get big enough and just maintain that and just go the rest of my life and stay fit and comfortable, not try to become some big chiseled ripped guy, because it's just, to me, it's not worth it. You know, it's a lot of work, which is fine, but to maintain that forever. That takes a lot of time. There's guys that are like in the gym multiple days a week, 2 or 3 days a week. Their diets are insane. I ain't got time for all that.
No, shoot. And you know, if you think about it, underneath all of this, which I know this is not a video podcast, but you know, under all of this is, you know, I'm ripped underneath all of this. I'm just, you know, I just got a little protective coating on. It protects the muscles. Yeah, exactly. It's just like I'm wearing a big goat.
don't let Aaron fool you. I think Aaron makes himself out to sound a little bit bigger than what he really is. He's not that big of a guy by any means of the word big. So don't let him fool you. Right. Don't let him fool you.
I can still sit cross-legged in this car studio in the driver's seat. So it's still doing pretty good, I think.
I think so. So I guess if you can't do that, I guess if the point comes in your life where you can't sit cross-legged, you got to make some life changes. That's what I guess that's the telltale sign again. Oh no.
All right. Dang, man. We're
almost 20 minutes in.
Getting close to the 20 minutes in, and we haven't even talked about what we're going to cover tonight, but we had a lot to catch up on. So God, you know, God's kind of put it on my heart to start getting into the names of God, you know, to his names. And so we're going to start covering them. It's going to be a two-part series. And the reason for that is because they're the names of God. And why not? Because, and today we're going to kind of cover those. None of his names are smaller names, you know, but we're going to cover some of there's some that I'm kind of reserving. And so we're not going to touch on some of them. If there's people listening that know, that already know a lot of the names of God, I think there's something like over 100 of them. But if you, some sources that I, when I was doing research for this, showed over 100, some showed 100, you know, there's like a basic 15 names of God that are pretty standard. So some of them we're going to touch on tonight, some of them we're not. But why? You know, so when I was driving around today, Marshall, I was like, okay, why the names of God, right? And okay, there are those of you that are listening who may not know God at all. And speaking of his many names, speak to his many wonderful attributes. And these names that God has, they describe who God is and his work in our lives. And they explain that he is everything. He is our everything. And so we'll go into that more in part two. But for now, our hope in this week's episode, or in this two-part series, is that you'll see that we continue to serve a wonderful, mighty, and living God, active in our lives from the day we are born till the day we die. So it's just I just kind of wanted to throw this out before we really get into it, Marshall, was that, like I said before, some of these names we are either going to cover quickly tonight or we're going to omit for today, because we want to go into more detail in part two. So, such as Yahweh, but if Lord willing, time willing, if we do mention a couple of Yahweh's names, it's not a huge deal because we're just not going to go into more detail as to why God is Yahweh. So, so, hey, you know what? You're going to have to just stay tuned. Those of you listening, you're just going to have to stay tuned, stay with us on this little mini series. And if you want to hear us get into that, his greatest name, it's exciting. So you're surely not going to want to miss it.
Absolutely. And, you know, that was a mouthful. That was a lot, but it was really good. So, hey, I've got a little couple of verse here, well, a couple of verses that I'd like to share that kind of encompasses all these names of God. And I'd like to read this verse. It's Exodus 3:13-14. You may be familiar with it. You may not be familiar with it, but it's a cool verse. So hear me out. So it says, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God says to Moses, he says, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. So God called himself I am, which is a name that describes his eternal power and unchangeable character. And I thought, you know, I just flipped open the Bible one night and I was kind of praying, and this is the verse that I came upon. I think that's what I did. Maybe it was in my phone Bible. I don't know. I was in a Bible, and this was given to me, shown to me, and I thought it was perfect for what we're starting to talk about here. And I just thought, you know, that I am really just encompasses as a whole all of his names. And so that was really good. A little tidbit of information there for you.
And we'll go into that a little bit more detailed in part two, because that is precisely what you said, Marshall, was that encompasses everything. But yes, I do want to save that. But what I do want to cover tonight is the L's. And I say L's, not as the letter L, but L. And
E-L.
So we can... E-L. Yes. E-L. So he's got, like I said, he's got many names, And they all speak to his attributes or how he works within our lives, right? And so the first one that comes up is El or Eloah. And alongside of it is Elohim. Both of those work together. Did you come across that in your study in Marshall? That they are both of those come mm-hmm. together. So
yeah, they're very similar in meaning.
Right, because Eloah is mighty, strong, and prominent. That's what that means. And the root of El is might, but it can also be power, integrity, jealousy, and compassion. Mm-hmm. So how do we, so when I was thinking about doing this series, Marshall, I was thinking, how do we better describe God's names instead of just talking about them and reading and looking at the different definitions of what the word means. So being that it mighty, strong, and prominent, right? And when you look at it, it's power, integrity, jealousy, and compassion. Well, that is God. He's all powerful. He leads with integrity. You know, he guides us and leads us with integrity. He is a jealous God. He wants us to come to him.
Yep.
He wants us for himself. He created us for himself. And he's also compassionate, all at the same time. He is, I'm gonna pause right there because I almost was getting into some of the other topics I want to cover in part two. Man, this is what, like we've said it before on this podcast, is digging into God's word is so fun. Digging into, and trying to foster that relationship that we have with Jesus is so exciting. And so there's so much to look at. There's so much to dig into, and it's just fun to do it.
Wouldn't you agree? Oh, absolutely. It is really cool when you start to dig in, and I haven't really dug in to each individual name. I've just kind of looked up, like Aaron was saying, kind of brief and vague descriptions and definitions of each name, just to kind of get a little idea as to what each one means. And I didn't even do all of them because there's so many of them, right? And so,
yeah.
You know, as I'm sitting here listening to Aaron talk, I just can't help but think that I believe that, you know, throughout the Bible, different people from different areas and different times for different reasons use different names of God for whatever it is they're going for, because each name has a different meaning. And depending on what it is that individual in the Bible is going through in their life, or maybe one of us, you know, if you learn the meaning of these names, you know, just imagine, I think anyway, how much more meaningful and intimate, you know, it would be if you call out to God by the name that pertains to whatever it is you're going through. Like El Eloah, you know, mighty, strong, prominent, integrity, jealousy, compassion. You know, it's like,
I like that.
You know,
yes.
Yeah. You know, it's like, so like, what are you going through in your life? Well, whatever I'm going through that pertains to that name of God, that's how I'm going to call out to him. That's how I'm going to talk to him in my prayers, is based on that name that describes what I'm going through in my life. Like, just imagine if we did that, and how much more meaningful and deep and intimate that conversation would be with God. I don't know. I'm sitting here thinking about that, and I'm like, man, that's pretty deep.
Here's an example, Marshall, that if I was just to say, hey, you, well, then who am I talking to, right? But if I call out to our Father in heaven by his name and say, okay, here's another example, Elohim. Okay, we haven't really gotten into it, but we'll use this as a transition into Elohim, which means creator, mighty, and strong. Okay, so say maybe you're trying to have a baby, right? You can relate, Marshall.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Elohim. You start your prayer off, Father God, Elohim, bless this house, bless this child, bless that. You know what I mean? You're calling to him as you're recognizing him as creator, as strong and mighty, able to create with his voice, create life with his voice. And so just like you're saying, Marshall, that there's, it's just one of many examples that we could give to you to call out to God, by a more intimate name, like you said. I love it. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I had never thought about that either until you were talking and we're sitting here talking about this right now. And it just kind of came to me. And I was like, man, how much more intimate would that be if we spoke to God that way based on what we're going through in our lives? Because it's almost like I think it would make you feel like God can relate to you with what you're going through. It may help you feel like God is relating to you closer because you're using that name that describes what you're going through. Not that, I mean, God always knows what you're going through because what you've been through, he's been through and more. So, but still, like, it just gives you that sense of you get it, you know? And,
right.
Yeah. It's awesome. Good stuff. I love it.
So, what I did come across when, since we're kind of on, the name Elohim, is that Eloah is singular of Elohim. So what this suggests, Marshall, you're going to like this, is this name Elohim supports the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in one.
Oh yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I like that.
I thought that was really cool.
It is. It's just amazing. You know, I'm sitting here it's just crazy because I've never in my life have I sat down and even thought, hey, I'm going to go through the different names of God. That's just not something I think about. That's not something I've never heard a pastor give a sermon on the names of God. You know, you hear people mention, you know, different names of God, Yahweh, all this kind of stuff, different names, but you never hear somebody go into depth on the different names and meanings behind God and when they're used in the Bible and why they're being used, you know, in the Bible. Like we just mentioned, like Eloah, there's verses in Nehemiah 9:17 and Psalm 139:19 that talk about when that name is being used. And there's several other verses in Elohim. You can turn to Genesis 17:7 and Jeremiah 31:33. It talks about when that name is used. And it's just, it's crazy. There's so much to it. You just don't think about it. But man, it's so good to think about it.
Yeah. And if you had to ask me right now, as far as like, you know, after the research that I've been doing into God's names, Elohim, outside of his supreme name is, or what I'm referring to as his highest name, being Yahweh. This is probably one of my favorites, Elohim, because for one, it supports, I like that it supports the Trinity because I believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in one God that is the Godhead. And, I like that when you were to use that, like what we were talking about, Marshall, and this explains probably why I like it so much, is that you're calling out to all of them in one, Elohim. And then what it means, the reason I like it is because it covers, in a broad sense, his attribute. He created us. He's a creator and he is mighty and strong, which suggests and proves, suggests that he is and can be capable of anything.
Oh yeah. 100%, man. I just love this. This is awesome. What about this next name? What about the name El Shaddai? Is that something you want to touch on
tonight? Yeah, I really do. Yes, I do. Yeah. So okay. El Shaddai, I didn't go into real deep study on that. Because it gets you know, do you want to go over how deep did you get into that?
I didn't get very deep. It's pretty much the same thing I have as probably what you have, but I'll read it and I'll read the verses that go along with it. But it says It says El Shaddai, which is God Almighty or the Mighty One of Jacob. And this El Shaddai, it speaks to God's ultimate power overall. So again, going back to praying to God based on what you're going through in your life, you know, maybe you're not sure, like, I don't know, but El Shaddai. Now, if you're playing El Shaddai, and whatever is your mean, it says power overall. Maybe it's something you're, you know, a sin you've been dealing with your life, or, you know, someone's got some sort of illness that they're dealing with, an addiction, or you've got cancer or sickness. This is El Shaddai, the power over all, the God's ultimate power. Mm. Like, it doesn't matter what it is, what you're going through, what you're dealing with in your life. He is God. He is the God over all. He has the power and the might over everything that you're dealing with in your life, that you're going through in your life. So just think about that. Genesis 49:20. Hang on. Make sure I got the right. Yeah, okay. Genesis 49:24 says, "Yet his bow remained unmoved. His arms were made agile, but the hands of the Mighty One of Jacob, El Shaddai, from there is a shepherd of the stone of Israel." And then Psalm 132:2-5. Yeah. Hang on. I hit the wrong button. My bad. Oh my. Here we go. Let's get it back. Okay. It says Psalm 132:2. It says how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob. Now, you'd have to go back and read the before and after of that verse right there, because I'm sure there's a lot more to it. I have not done that yet. But it's just showing, you know, it says the Mighty One of Jacob, which is El Shaddai, and they're using it in that time. Whatever's going on in those two different verses, I'm not sure. Like I said, I haven't read it, but it just gives a couple references in the Bible that shows where his name is being used. I'm sure it has to do with something big that's going on, I would think, because of what this says, it speaks to God's ultimate power overall.
Yeah. Well, and that's what it was. And you know, of course, I don't know, God was kind of leading me in a different direction. So when I got to El Shaddai and the mighty one of Jacob, I was like, okay, I was trying to focus in on that. And then God just kind of took me down a different direction. So it kind of did trip me. I wasn't going to spend a whole lot of time on that, but what I did focus in on, especially getting to this point in the study, was mighty. All of these names so far that we've mentioned has mighty in it at some point in time. So it's like, okay, and that's where my train of thought went, was like, mighty. What is mighty, right? So I looked it up. Merriam-Webster puts mighty's definition as great and impressive power or strength, especially on the account of size. And I got to thinking, I was like, man, you know, God is so much more than that, right? Mm-hmm. So the Hebrew word for mighty is Gabor. And we're getting into that because that's going to be our next name. It means mighty, but it is more importantly means hero. You got to love the Hebrew language and, you know, and what their words meant. I mean, I could never, I'm too old to learn a new language, so it would be incredibly hard to learn it. But, man, these words, they were so much more richer in context, weren't they?
No, they really were. Every time I hear someone mention the Hebrew meaning of a word they're talking about, it is. It's so much more deeper than what we would ever think of. Like, it's just our words are very, what you say is what it
shallow.
Is what it means. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, love.
They're shallow.
Love. You know, strong is strong. You know, there's nothing else behind that. You know, it's kind of boring.
But so as I was digging into it, so I kept going, right? So what is Gabor? The characteristics of Gabor are courage, and forgive me if we're saying any of these words wrong. Like I said, we speak English, and that's pretty much it. I'm sorry. You know, we're going to try and do our best here, but So the characteristics of Gabor are courage, self-sacrifice, being a warrior, and moral excellence. Now check this out, Marshall. Jesus displayed all of these characteristics, courage in going to the cross, being on the cross for our sins, a warrior for being the commander of God's army. We see that throughout scripture. He, let's see here, Matthew 26, 53 through 54, he says he could call down legions of angels. Let me see. Hold on. Let me look that up real quick. Matthew, sorry, dang it. I blew past it because it's getting me excited. Dang it. Let's see here.
Well,
26
while he,
verse.
Never mind.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I don't know how long it's going to take you to look that up, but it sounds like you found it.
I got it. Yeah. 53 through 54. Or do you think that I cannot call on my Father and he will provide me here and now with more than 12 legions of angels? How then would the scriptures be fulfilled that I say it must happen this way? Okay, so yeah, maybe I did take that out of context. The only reason, and I only covered a small portion of that, but what I was trying to use and as an example is the fact that who else could call down 12 legions of angels except for a commander, right? A commander of an army could call upon his warriors, right? Wow. So moving on. And for conquering death itself, moral excellence in the perfect sinless life that he lived and is still currently living. We just celebrated this at Easter because we're celebrating our risen Lord, right? So, which is why El Gabor is another name for God, meaning mighty God.
Right.
Which is also what they gave, you know, Jesus was also because he was God in flesh.
Right.
Sorry about the tangent. I'm done if you have anything to add on that one.
No, yeah. So I was going to mention a couple of the verses that it mentions in this. Got questions.
Man, I'm glad you came up with I'm glad you came up with some of these scriptures because I went to town writing notes and that was about it. I didn't write down it. I was kind of leaning on you for these verses, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, it's easy. It's so easy once you start writing notes and God's speaking to you or whatever it is. Man, it, for me anyway, I know I'll just once I start, I just go, and you're just like, yeah. Before you know it, you've written half a book. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's so easy. So to keep a couple verses here, El Gabor, and it's the way it's pronounced is El Gheebohr. So that it's like El Gabor, you know, it's El Gabor, but it looks like it's Gi. So anyway,
Gibor.
So Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us," and a lot of you are going to be familiar with this verse, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God," there's that mighty again, "Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Everywhere, like Aaron said, that we've seen so far, the main word that has popped out to me is the word mighty. Mighty, 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 mighty. And yes, God is more than mighty, but isn't he mighty? You know, I mean, it's just, it's a great word to describe God. And so the next verse is Revelation 19:15, and it says, "From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God, the Almighty." So, yeah, it's good stuff, guy. Like, I'm glad Aaron felt led and listens to God because this is a treat for me going through this and studying these different names as we're going through this two-part series. And I'm learning a lot. I don't know about you guys listening, but I'm learning a lot. And like Aaron said, you get fired up while reading this stuff, especially when you start talking about the name. I don't know what it is. We've done a lot of podcasts. And there's been a few in there when we've gotten fired up and excited. Don't get me wrong. But there's something about talking about the name of God and the different names of God. I don't know what it is, but it's, I don't know, it gets you excited. It really will.
It's like this. It's like, have you met my buddy Marshall? And every person you meet, have you met my buddy Marshall? Marshall, he's just the greatest thing. Marshall's strong. Marshall's, he's funny. He's friendly. He'll do anything for you. Have you met Marshall? That's exactly how this is, but it's more exciting because we're talking about the guy who created us, the God who created us, and he is living today. He gives us breath each and every morning that we wake up. So why aren't we excited about this? You know, why not be excited about it is what I meant to say, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, so you're talking about the God who created Marshall, the God who created Aaron, the God who created you that's listening right now. You know, if you stop and think about it, there's a God that created you. One day we'll go into the created part of that because I think that's important to talk about too. But the God that created the universe, the earth, the ground you walk on, everything in your life, there's a God, one true God who created all that. How can you not get happy and excited about that? Why aren't we talking about that more? Why don't we have more courage and strength and ambition? We have so much ambition to become huge in our careers. We have so much ambition to be great husbands and wives and sons and fathers and whatever else. We have such a great ambition to do better in life, such a great ambition to do all this. Why don't we have a great ambition to get this excited every day about God and his name? Why? I don't understand. I'm talking to myself right now. I'm preaching to me. Like, yeah. Someone slapped me across the face right now because this is ridiculous. It really is.
Yeah. But and the same holds true for if you guys talk about how poor the politics are or how bad the president's doing or whatever, but forget that you find it so easy to talk about that, yet it's so hard for someone to get fired up and constantly talk about God. You know, and forgetting all the while that God's the one who placed that leader or that, you know, that president or that boss or whatever in that position that they're in because he is creator almighty.
Yep. Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Excuse me. My goodness. Okay. All right. So, Marshall, you were right. When we talked on the phone earlier today, we're going to make it through this. But we're going to stop at the stopping point that I wanted to. So if this runs a little bit longer than usual, that's fine. We got three more ELs to go or Ls to go through. And then we'll round this thing out and get ready for part two. Because you think we're fired up now? My goodness. We haven't even gotten to God's greatest name yet. So, yeah, stay tuned. Anyway, all right, moving on. So L... And this one's a hard one for me. I can't pronounce it.
Elion.
That's it.
Elion, maybe? I don't know.
Elion. Okay. So after all that ranting we've done, Most High is what this means, right? Is what this name of God means. He is above all. He is bigger than all. What's up?
No, keep going. I just read something in this description of Elion, and it just...
Okay,
just keep going. I'll.
All right, let me back up a second. So the Elion means most high, right? So he is above all. He is bigger than all, and all your problems, all your worry, except, you know, he's bigger than all of that. That's what this is. He's bigger than the problems that you have, that you face in this life. I'll turn it over to you now, Marshall. Sounds like what you had was pretty good.
Well, I'm just sitting here reading this description of Elion. And like Aaron said, it says most high. But it derives from the Hebrew root for go up or ascend. All right, guys. So we are the Undaunted Pursuit Podcast. And if you've listened to any intro of our podcast, we've always said, Aaron, we're going up and we want to take you with us. We're taking you with us. So when I read that, I was just like, huh, El Young. Like, man, come on, dude. Like, I love that. That's awesome.
Hmm. Maybe that should be our, this is Undaunted Pursuit, El Elyon.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, but that is, that's awesome. So anyway, I'm going to read the rest of that. So it says, derived from the Hebrew root for go up or ascend. So the implication is of that which is the very highest. El Elyon denotes exaltation and speaks of absolute right to lordship. And the verse that goes along with this is Deuteronomy 26:19. And it says, and that he will set you in praise and in fame and in honor high above, going up high above all nations that he has made, and that you shall be a people holy to the Lord your God as he promised. It's just good stuff. Everything, all of it. Wonderful.
Yeah. Now here's one. Here's one for the ladies. Okay. And I'm not saying it's just for the ladies, but it's because this name for God stems from the, Hagar, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, Marshall. Anyway, El Roi. God of seeing. There's a lot, and the reason is, and I'll let Marshall go into that, but the problem is, or not the problem, golly, I don't know what I'm thinking. I'm just too jumbled right now. I'm too excited. Anyway, he's the God of seeing, right? So whether you like it or not, God is always watching. He sees you in the good times. He sees you in the bad times. And there is never a time that he is not looking at you, because he is always pursuing you. This is what I'm taking out of this name, out of this name of God. And I put it in my notes because it makes me think of, like, and that's what I meant by saying, it's not just for the ladies. It's for those of you having, if you are still living that sinless life, if you are sinful life, I mean, and you're sneaking around, you know, when would you most likely be sneaking around at night when it's mm-hmm. dark? Cause that's where sin lives, is in the dark, mm-hmm. because God is light and you think nobody's watching, you're stealing, you're, pursuing other, ambitions. If you catch my drift, God still sees you. God still sees mm-hmm. you when you are grieving. God still sees you when you're having that hard time at home. That he still sees you when you're struggling, again, with addiction of any sort. He's always pursuing you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, I'll read what this says here for El Rohi, which is, like you said, God of seeing. The name ascribed to God by Hagar, alone and desperate in the wilderness after being driven out by Sarah. When Hagar met the angel of the Lord, she realized she had seen God himself. Look this up, Aaron, if you don't mind while I read the rest of this. Theophany, or it's T-H-E-O-P-H-A-N-Y. I don't know what that means. She also realized,
say it again.
Theophany. It's T-H-E-O-P-H-A-N-Y.
Okay. All right. I got it.
So she had realized.
You want me to go for it now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Theophany is a visible, and this is just a quick Google search, guys. A visible manifestation to humankind of God or a God, which in this case, God.
The God, the only God.
Yeah. Capital G God.
So then it continues to say, she also realized that El Rohi saw her in her distress and testified that he is a God who lives and sees all. So I'll go back and read these couple verses. The first one's Genesis 16:1-14. And it says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by, and then Genesis 16:13 says, so she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are a God of seeing. For she said, truly here I have seen him who looks after me. So those are just the verses that kind of explain what they were talking about there with Hagar and Sarah and all that stuff. So,
okay, so check this out, Marshall. I did find, and you know, as you scroll down there in Google, searching that word theophany, it's another word, another kind of breakdown of it was theophany from Greek theophania. It means appearance of God. And then it highlights manifestation of deity in sensible form. So another one that I came up with examples include a thunderstorm, fire, a cloud, glory, a courtroom, a human figure, a warrior, and a chariot. So it seems to be that however that word was used in context was God manifested himself in some sort of physical, I would assume. Kind of, maybe, I don't know. I could be wrong. But anyway, that's just, take it for what you will. Just quit. I don't know it. I'd never heard of that word. But
I haven't either. That's why I wanted you to look it up, because I was like, I hope I'm saying it right. It sounds like it. Well, I don't know, but I've never heard of it. So let's look it up and see what it means. Because there's, the thing is, when you're reading something like this and you see a word like that, it's probably good to look it up and see what it means. That way you understand the context in which it's being used.
Yeah. Yep. For sure. Okay. Yeah, let me do the same here. I got to get a drink.
Oh, so all right. I tell you, I've got a couple cool cups here tonight. I got my Black Raffle Coffee Company mug that looks like a grenade, which is amazing, by the way. Mm-hmm. I've got one of these big, giant Stanley 40-ounce cups. Now,
well, you're on the Stanley game, huh?
Well, hang on a minute. I did not. Yeah, that's the same response I get at work too. Because it's mostly women who carry these things around. I don't see very many men who carry a big giant 4-ounce Stanley around. Hence why I brought it back to my house. I did not buy that Stanley cup. I love it. I love it. And it holds a lot of water. And that's all I ever put in there is water. So it kind of forces me to drink a lot of water because it's so big. And then I just keep refilling it. However, I did not buy this. So I bought one for my wife. And because she wanted one. Hence, like I said, mostly women have these things. Stanley knew what they were doing. And then my in-laws, my wife's parents, decided they were going to gift me with one. And they bought me one. Now, I love it. I absolutely love it. Yeah. It's an awesome mug or cup or whatever you want to call it. Is it something I would have bought myself? Never in a million years. Because I just, if it was a Yeti, yeah, probably so. Because I've got a couple of those. But a Stanley, I just wouldn't have. Stanley's been around for years, right? And the thing I saw Stanley growing up was the old green thermos you put coffee in, right? That's what I grew up seeing as Stanley.
Love it. Yep.
And those I love. Those I love all day long. I'll buy those all day long. But so anyway, yeah. So that's, I explain myself because I did not buy the Stanley. It was bought for me. And it was a surprise gift. So
I get a lot of use. That's a popular thing right now. It's like this whole Stanley movement or whatever you want to call it. I don't know why I'm not caught up on social norms or I'm fashionable in my own sense, if you want to put it that way. But I keep up with fashion trends. And I'm being sarcastic there. So of course I don't keep up with trendy social trends. That's the word. Dang it. It took me forever to get there. Shoot. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So we got to start wrapping this. We got to start wrapping this bad boy up. Okay.
We do. We got one more.
One more. Last, but not certainly not least. El Olaham. Did I say that right?
Based on the what do you call that when they spell it out? El
Olaham?
Ro or El Olaham. What do you call that little thing right there where they spell it out like
I don't know.
There's a name for it.
The pronunciation.
pronunciation. There you go. That's so the way you said it sounds like how you pronounce it. So whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Giving it a good old college try.
Yeah, exactly. So El Olam, everlasting God, is what it means, is what this name of God means. He has everlasting God, right? So what does that make you think of? I had to jot down some of these notes so I didn't forget, of course. You know, it's like, what do you think of when you hear everlasting God? He has no beginning or end. He is outside of time and space. He knows all because he is all. He is a living and active God, and he is life, like I said earlier, and he is eternity. Thus, you have everlasting God. That's that was just something I was jotting down as I was thinking about this name of God, is that he knows all. He is everything. He is everything in my life, and he is still living and active in our lives for all eternity. He's eternal. He's outside of time and space. So
I was looking up a verse and I can't find it, of course, but that's okay. So going to keep talking about what Aaron is talking about here. Give me a sec. Okay. So it says God's nature is without beginning or end. So when I read that, I thought, you know, God's love reaches as far as the east is from the west. That's what that made me think.
Endless.
Of, you know, and it's endless. There's no beginning. There's no end. It just keeps on going forever and ever and ever. You know how when people say, oh my goodness. I heard a comedian say this one day and it cracked me up. I can't think of it. It's a word that we all use. And it's just like I wish I could think of what it was, because when you say it, it's almost like you're just doing it and again and again and over and over and over, which made me think of this as well. It just, God's name is reaches as far as love reaches as far as the east is from the west, the beginning and the end. There is no end. There is no beginning to his name, but it says God's nature is without beginning or end, free from all constraints of time, and he contains with himself the very cause of time. Wow. He contains within himself the very cause of time itself, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. That's crazy.
So deep. It is so deep. If you sit down and you really ponder that, it's like, it is an all-encompassing name for meaning that it's still yet again another one of those names. It all has a like a root meaning that all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing, all-seeing, everything. Every name kind of, if you think about it, what we've gone through this week on this week's podcast is everything stems back to that. And it's just to go and prove that he is who he says he is.
Yeah. You know what I would love? This is just a little side note. If we have any listeners who are like experts on the Hebrew language, and you can, like, I would love to have somebody on and go back and do like a third episode on the names of God, but have somebody that is like a pro on the Hebrew language, and that's a Christian. That way, I would love to have that and just tie all this stuff together and just see it from a different perspective, and preferably somebody from that country. I would absolutely love that, because the different perspective on that and how they would see things and how they think on a regular basis compared to how we do, because our language is so boring. I mean, compared to this, it's just boring. To the Hebrew language. I think that'd be awesome. If there's any listeners out there, and that's you, what I just described, reach out to us. We would love to talk to you and have you on here, because that would be awesome. That would just be really cool. Anyway, I just want to throw that out there.
Well, I may know somebody. I, I, my pastor was just, I think I've talked to him about that. He knows a guy. I know a guy who knows a guy that is a professional in, I mean, that's what he does for a living is Hebrew studies or, I don't know if he's from Israel, you know, but, I'll talk to him next time I see him, see what's up. In the meantime though, I would love to have that community with our listeners too. So, of course, don't let that stop you because there's no guarantee that I could get this guy on, you know, whatever, but, I would love to hear from one of our community as well.
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
So, all right. Well, we better wrap this thing up, Marshall.
Yeah, that, wow, that went by really fast.
Right. We talked and it's probably about one of our
in a short period of time.
Longer episodes. No, yeah, we did. And I know that there's some people that are going to think that this is actually going to be a pretty long podcast in the podcast world, but I think it's worth it. I had a lot of fun doing it, and I hope that you guys can stick with us on this and come in with us on part two because it's only going to get more exciting from here. So, yeah. Anyway, yeah. So let's wrap this up, guys. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Undaunted Pursuit Podcast. We're glad you joined us and share this episode with somebody. This is something Marshall, I listen to thousands of hours of podcasts and I have not heard this done. That's not what made me want to do this. It's just, we'll get into this next week of as to why I even started thinking about this, why God kind of laid it on our heart. And laid it on my heart to want to dig into the names of God. It's quite the story. It touched me and it's really not that extravagant of a story, but either way, share this episode with somebody and just keep spreading Christ Jesus into this world. Be that conduit of heaven into this world. So, as usual, guys, you can always reach out to us. Like we said, if you guys need to reach out to us, we want to have somebody on here that's a professional in the Hebrew language on here, whatever, or a prayer request or whatever the heck else you guys want to talk to us. You can email us at undauntedpursuit@gmail.com or mail@undauntedpursuit.com. And as always, social media platforms. You guys can always reach us on there. Let's see here. Anything? What else, Marshall? I'll let you go ahead. I got to get a drink.
Yeah, no, so like he said, social media platforms, guys. We've got Facebook, we've got X/Twitter, we've got Instagram, we've got give me a second. La, 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 la. We've got LinkedIn, we're on LinkedIn. Guys, we're on a lot of platforms and we're looking at getting into okay. You know, I'm kind of embarrassed to say this, but I'm going to say it. We're looking at getting into TikTok, okay? And there's a reason behind that. It's because it's going to help us get the gospel out. And that's the most important thing because everybody and their mother is using TikTok. I don't care what your age is. You're on TikTok. I don't have one personally. Aaron doesn't have one personally, I don't believe. And but for us personally or for us for our this podcast, we're going to benefit from it. Not like us, Aaron but God and getting the gospel out. So, that is to come. So be on the lookout for that. And you can message us on Facebook and Instagram and stuff. If you have questions or you just want to talk to us about something, we're there. We're constantly looking this stuff. We're looking at this stuff. We keep up with it. We'd love to hear from you guys. We really would. Like Aaron said, our emails, email us, you know, we love hearing from you guys. If you want to be on the podcast, you're interested in being on the podcast, again, reach out to us. mail@undauntedpursuit.com, Facebook, Instagram, reach out to us. We'd love to have you on. Yeah. And guys, like he said, this is the first episode. There's a second one coming. There's a second part of this. And clearly you could tell this has been good. This is a lot of good meat in this. So what's coming next is going to be even better. So buckle in. Hang tight and get ready for the next podcast because it's going to be awesome. It's going to be even better than this. So if you thought this was good, you have no idea what's coming next.
There you go. Yeah. And hey, do us a favor. get on Apple podcasts, iTunes, whatever it is, Spotify, YouTube, all that. Give us good rating. Give us good review. It helps boost that score up. So in the meantime, I hope you guys enjoyed this. We're getting out of here. We'll see y'all next week. Undone in Pursuit podcast. See you guys.
Adios.
There's no other name but the name of Jesus that can move any mountain, become a raging sea. There's no other power but the power of Jesus that can make the lame walk, cause the blind to see. There's just something about that name. In it there's power, there's love, mercy and grace. There's just something about that name, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus.
Name of Jesus.